Hello, my name is Brandy Hofer, your host and founder of Color Me Happy, a community podcast and book, all of which I started in my in-home studio whilst in the throes of motherhood. I am an artist, author, educator, and mother to three beautiful boys. We live and create together in our in-home studio that is tucked away in the quiet Canadian prairies. Our podcast and community was built to empower and inspire. We chat about everything from motherhood, the art world, business, and health in the most honest and authentic way. It's totally unedited and unfiltered. If you love what we do here, become a part of our free community, Color Me Happy. We have grown the community to support our members with features and interviews. Our link is in the notes. Thank you for being here. I sure do appreciate your time. Hello, welcome to Color Me Happy podcast. My name is Brandy Hofer, your host. Thank you so much for being here. I sure do appreciate your time. I'm so excited. My husband will turn off the Oiler game in the background. He refuses and he might yell. So be ready for that. I'm so excited about our guest, Catherine Rains, or for short, Kat Rains. She is a very cool artist, educator. She's got a really cool freebie on her site for if you want to step into collage. So I will link that in the notes below. We had a really organic, fun conversation, and I'm really excited to announce in this intro that tomorrow I will be interviewed by the Jenna Kutcher for her podcast, for her coaching sessions. And I want to talk about something we talk about in my book a lot. Just one chapter actually. I hope I like put sentences together for her podcast at least. I'll be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed because it'll be in the morning first thing. So I feel like my brain will still be working after a day of motherhood, art education, and everything else, dentist, sports, messes, dishes, cooking, and everything in between. By this time of night, 7:27, it's toast. Actually, by 3, I'm usually pretty toast. Okay, so I want to talk about something I talk about in my Color Me Happy book, See Your Everyday Ordinary is Extraordinary, is Be Brave Days. This is how this happened, and I swear this works, and it's people send me and email me and message me stories about their Be Brave Days and how it like led to this opportunity that they never expected or they forgot about or whatever. So this happens like all the time. Like good things happen because when you do things, you set something in motion. You set an idea, you set a fantasy and a dream or an ambition in motion. Big things don't always come at once. They come in these like tiny little steps. And when you throw a bunch of spaghetti to see what works and capitalize on your Be Brave Days, opportunities come when you kind of least expect them to. So that's how this happened. But a Be Brave Day is when, I remember this specific sentence in my book, is when you feel like the sun is shining out your ass. It's like when you wake up and the birds are chirping and you're like, today is the day, and you got to capitalize on it because tomorrow you might be too tired from your Be Brave Day. And you'll be like, I'm not as psyched about that idea for asking for my raise. So you have to take your courage in the moment and roll with it and set the rest of the things in motion. Because I actually am part of Jenna Kutcher's Gold Digger community, which actually some people who work with me, I found in that community. It's a really cool place for anyone, not just business entrepreneurs, to be a part of. But I love being there. It's a very supportive community on top of our community that we have to support this podcast, the Color Me Happy community. It's a very nice, supportive place that she's grown. So I love that. But they reached out, or they put this post up, and I don't go in there every day. I like maybe go in there once a month. Sorry, I'm losing my voice because it's the end of the day and I did Art Academy today. with 62 kids, just to give you a picture of the talking and the fun. And we were on the news, so it was lots of talking. Anyway, she posted like, would you like to be coached by Jenna? And so there's like 186, probably more than that now, answers of like, well, people of course want to be coached by Jenna, right? And if you could, what would you talk about? So I put something, I actually don't even really remember what I put because it was so long ago. And I got this reach out on Facebook, like from like a message that was like, this person wants, so not even a message from like a contact or anything. So those always seem highly suspicious. For me as an artist, there's a lot of, if you're not an artist, you don't really know, but there's a lot of like scammers out there. I don't know why, because a lot of artists are striving to create income for themselves. I don't want to say artists are starving, because I think that's a big limiting belief, and I do a lot to shatter that stereotype and limiting belief. However, they're not the... You're scamming the lowest of the low. Anyway, poor artists. We're not poor, we're creative, and I think that is a skill that just needs to be honed and reshaped into a very big compliment and skills utilized in a different way. We're people who can think differently, which I think is the coolest skill set of all time. And we can thrive in so many ways, right? So something just popped into my brain that I needed to do as I was talking about school. I had to make a note. Okay, so capitalize on your Be Brave days, because cool, cool things can happen. Big opportunities. I'm trying to think of other, like probably 60% of my opportunities come from just like asking and putting myself out there and capitalizing on those really energized days where, you know, you had time to go running. So running, for example, is my meditation time. So I had a lot of good ideas stirring and things got clear and I'm like, oh yeah, I wanted to do this. Oh yeah, I wanted to message this person. Oh yeah, I wanted to apply for that opportunity. And you just kind of do it all and check as much off as you can. And because like I said, you never know when you're getting it back. And so I would say probably no, more like 80% of all my opportunities came from the days where I felt high, like I felt amazing and high on life. So obviously you all know I'm sober, so high in the sense of, you know, life is my oyster day. So that's my tip for today. Send me some really good vibes that I don't fuck up on the Jenna Kutcher podcast. I wonder if you're allowed to swear. Maybe. I feel like I should know that because I listen a lot. I have to limit my listening to Jenna's podcast because she gets me so pumped up. Like if it's like, revamp your website. And then I'm like, I do need to revamp my website. And by the way, I've been revamping my website for a year and a half. So I have to like take Jenna in like the encouraging doses and choose when I listen to her because I love her so much that I get so excited. She makes me be brave, I guess. So it's a very pinch me moment. But I thank you for being here. Check out Catherine and her free collage course. Enjoy this episode. Join our Color Me Happy community to find support. We do have a new website with new classes and new systems. If you have a class, this is very important. You have like 20 days left to switch into our new platform. So please answer the emails that we sent you and click the buttons to switch over to ThriveCar from Podia, because then you will no longer have access to our education. So if you are one of our students, open those emails. They also have a $50 coupon for you off anything education at brandyhofer.ca that you want. So you can gift that, you can whatever. Just use it and switch over. Thank you so much. Enjoy this episode. And thank you to our supporters and partners, Nouveau Laser and Aesthetic Center, Oasis Hot Yoga and Spin Studio, Red Bicycle Communications, BioClean Disaster Services, and And I think I got it all. This is so great. All right. Reach out anytime at Brandy Hofer Studios on Instagram. I'm happy to chat and answer any questions.
Barely get to make art with my kids around. But I do try to fit it in every day, regardless, in some way, shape, or form. But when they're gone, I'm usually podcasting or in a meeting or something. Yeah. And that's one part of my day. And then, like last night, we tried jelly printing, press printing, which was really cool and like super approachable for young people. So, because we're doing that in Art Academy. Have you ever tried it?
With kids?
No, or just in general, the jelly plate.
Yeah. I've done a lot of jelly printing. Yeah.
It's fun. It's great.
It is. In fact, I want to start teaching some of it in classes that I do, but I got to find a unique thing. Like what can I do that's different? Because it's when you teach it, because a lot of it's been done. I don't want to copy people.
No, I mean, everyone's doing the same thing. They're pressing things and rolling. So, I mean, like whatever, but like your own unique creative spin on it.
Yeah.
Would be cool. Yeah. No, I've never done it. I love printmaking, so it's like a fun, affordable way to like experiment. But I would end up just like you said, in the end, doing some like putting a portrait over top of it or collaging or.
Well, I mean, that's what I do. I mean, I'm a collage artist, so all these papers that I make are just small little pieces for bigger things. So.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me, Brandy.
Yeah, and so glad to finally meet you.
Same here.
Yeah, I was reading through your email and it was such a big, amazing email. So I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, I'd love to talk to her.
You're so thoughtful and kind. Thank you. I was excited about talking to you too. Your Instagram feed is very inspiring, how you integrate all this stuff into your life. And you're so honest about it. I love your kind of rawness about your life.
Yeah. Do you prefer cat?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
That's easier to remember, I think.
Yeah.
There are a lot of Catherines out there. So like when you throw a cat in there, it's like, I can get that.
Catherine is my day gig voice. So I also teach Myers-Briggs as a day gig, but I barely do it. That was my life for a very long time, but now basically I'm full-time artist.
Wow, good for you.
You do kids. I do a little bit of Myers-Briggs on the side, although you do a lot more kids than I do Myers-Briggs, I think.
Yeah. With our new program, lots, which just doubled. So it's like lots of kids. I think 61 or something. Great.
So you're
62 art, or something.
The Art Academy you're doing through the school.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good for you.
But, it's good. It's a lot and it's great. It's fantastic. It's like, I was just talking to an artist yesterday. She phoned me over Instagram and like, she's in a town not too far from here. And it's like, there's no support. And she's trying to find activities and approachable ways to help these children because she's struggling with post-traumatic stress from the army. And she's like, I want kids to be able to heal through art. And like, that's such a strong why. And it made me so grateful. I'm like, we have funding in our program and we are able to do this. And like, people are struggling just to like, even be able to start. So it's pretty cool.
That's fabulous. What a nice way to serve.
Yeah. I never thought I'd be here. If you would ask me 5 years ago, I'd be like, that's not even possible, but it's been pretty cool. So I want to hear about your journey. And, I see like you were 33 when you started.
I didn't think art was not part of my anything. I wasn't raised to think I could do art. Anything artistic, period. I was a crafter, you know, as a kid. You know, my mother loved to knit and sew, and so I learned those kind of things, but I didn't consider them art because my parents could draw and paint and I couldn't, so therefore I wasn't an artist. But in my young 30s, I was in a pretty stressful job that I had trained my whole life for up until that point. And I hated my job. And so I started figuring out like what could I do just for stress relief? That's all I was thinking about. And I was thinking about all the things I loved to do as a child. And one of the things that I recalled was making one collage when I was 10 years old. So I said, okay, you know, who can't tear up paper, right? So I gathered all the magazines and the like catalogs in the house and made a very juvenile looking collage for the first time. And I was 33 and I had the most freaking fun that I started doing it every day. And I had dozens and dozens of these things and they were all self-portraits and I love them. And I framed them and put them on my corporate job. And I, at the time I worked for a university and students would come in my office and say, oh, you have children. And I would say, oh, no, I don't. Because they look like children's collages. They were pretty juvenile looking, but that's how it started. And
right. You're playing.
I was just playing and trying to relieve stress and find a meaning for life because I had, you know, formed my whole identity around this one job and gotten a master's for the job and moved for this particular job. And it really wasn't what I wanted to do with my life. So it was really a turning point. It started a whole new path, but it took a very long time. So I played for 3 years before I ever took an art class. I had never taken one, even, you know, in my grade school. And as soon as I took an art class, that, you know, all of a sudden I was like, oh, you can actually make a living doing this. Although that was way, way down the path. I got some skills, you know, my juvenile collages turned into not bad, you know, and they started evolving very quickly from there.
Mm-hmm. So may I ask what you were doing for your, like your whole job and your gig?
Yeah. My big day gig was I was a career development director for a university and I was basically aligning myself or building myself to a point where I could get a big university job. So I was mid-level and I was going to make my whole career working in a university. And then I eventually moved out of that into corporate life. And I ever heard of the Myers-Briggs MBTI?
No.
MBTI is a personality tool. It's used around the world and it's used in colleges and companies to help kids figure out what they want to do with their life. Ironically, I didn't know what I want to do with mine. And then I eventually went into training and development for companies. And so that's what I did as my day gig for most of my life after I finally got out of my university life. But the whole time I was doing the collage on the side. And it didn't take me that long before I actually quit my corporate job. And I became a full-time artist the first time. So I was a full-time artist for 4 years, starting at age 40 for 4 years. And it was fabulous and horrible at the same time, because as you know, well, you, I don't know what exactly what your situation is, but mine was, I had to make some money, you know? So I had to contribute to the family. I couldn't just do art. So the fabulous part was the doing art. The trying to figure out how to monetize was incredibly stressful.
It is. I totally had that whole epiphany. I was full-time motherhood and then like a decade into being a professional artist, and I was just like, this is not working. And people at McDonald's get paid more than I do, and they get McDonald's and they get benefits and the perks, they get scholarships and like, yeah. That's a joke I make, but
it's a true joke.
I mean, I do know artists who make it work, but mm-hmm. It didn't work for me in my experience.
Yeah, me neither for a long time. And the first time I was a full-time artist, I was on the art circuit route, you know, the art festival route. And I did a lot of art festivals.
Oh my gosh, those are so hard.
They're very, well, I was in my young 40s. I was physically fit. I could do it. You have to have a lot of stamina to do it. You know, it's 5 hour setup, 5 hour breakdown. You have to sit in any kind of weather.
Yeah.
And I was making money doing that. I did, you know, bring it in, but you know, how much money did I really make, you know, considering, you know, it was months of prep, and you're basically a production worker. You know, you're just reproducing the same thing, and you spend hours and hours just sitting in a booth. Sometimes people buy. You know, if I was a jewelry maker, I would have killed it. Jewelry is great, but you know, fine art, that's hard.
So. Yeah, and fine art at a high price, right? Like,
well, my experience, I had friends that were doing the reason I got into it is because they were selling their art on products. You know, so they
would
cards and journals and things you could take away easily for $20, which I tried to do, but it just didn't work with my art. So, you know,
invest in the physical item and then have it not sell. And then you have a whole bunch of these items and you're like, fuck, I guess I'm giving away all these backpacks.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Everyone got a lot of gifts, a lot of journals for a long time.
Yeah. No, exactly. We have to try these things and let them play out and see if they're going to work for us or not.
Yeah.
But it's you kind of have to, like, I would say get a coach or something or someone who's doing it or a mentor, and then they can guide you in the right direction for you if you're thinking of art licensing or anything like that. When you think of the actual ways to make money from art licensing, it's not making your own items and sitting in booth. If you're thinking about sustainability over time, it's actually selling them to large corporations or having a drop shipping service hooked up to your website. So then you're not, you know, you don't have any upfront costs, right? Or investments. Yeah. But of course, a website is an investment too, right? So
I wouldn't even thought about having a coach back then. I do have one now. And I think it is why I'm making money now. But until I hired a coach, I was doing dribs and drabs, you know, selling art as much as I could in collections. But even not doing art festivals, you know, it's still, you can't sell for that high a price, you know, when you're at least for me, when I'm selling in smaller items. So now I teach, you know, now I teach and sell my art, and it's a much better gig. You know, I can I can make a sustainable income off of it.
Well, and it's a balance too. You still get to interact with others. There's a social aspect to teaching, and if you're not doing it like full time, it can be a really nice balance between creating for yourself and then doing maybe in one art market or one art festival or something like that a year. And it's like the one you go to, and then people expect to see you there. And because really everything you do is for a reason, and everything you do has purpose and value, and you maybe don't know at the moment, and it maybe feels really terrible.
No, that's kind of how I live my life, is there isn't anything out of order. It's always perfect, even though it might look really bad many times on the surface, but everything builds into the next thing. And sometimes, you know, you're meant to do small things for a long time, maybe for your whole life. But my experience is over time, these little tiny things add up to where I'm supposed to be. So
totally. Yeah. Do you have an example of one of those moments in your life?
I have so many. I'm trying to figure out which one to tell you.
Start with one and we'll talk about them all.
Well, I'll tell you about the kind of most recent chapter. So I quit my corporate job a second time in 2018. Let me start over. So I did 4 years of full-time art, and then a lot of life things happened that brought me back to my corporate job. I stayed on the road for 12 years. And at the end of the 12 years, by the way, I never intended that. I intended 2 years tops and I'm gone. I wanted full-time art, but life just, that was the gift life gave me. It was, you know, it said, you really need to do this. So I did it. So at the end of the 12 years, which was 2018, I actually gave myself the gift of not selling art, basically. Even though I had quit my job to sell art, I knew that I had spent my entire life as a collage artist. And I thought, well, you know what, that's all you ever tried. You know, maybe there's something else. Maybe you're supposed to be a painter or a sculptor or maybe a writer, who knows? So I gave myself the gift of a year to take any art class I wanted to take. And I still did my corporate job 1 week a month. And I still do that, by the way. So it's a, kind of like a little side gig just to take the pressure off money.
Yeah.
So I spent a year taking art classes and had a blast. I did portraits and landscapes and flowers and acrylics and oils and anything that just kind of lit me up when I thought about it. And that 1 year turned into 2 years, and I wasn't selling because I wasn't trying. I didn't have any kind of collection or any kind of theme. And after 2 years, I stumbled on a collage class and I went, oh, I'll try that. And my whole body just lit up like, oh my God, this is what I always wanted to do. This is what I've been doing. I had made money before as a collage artist. So I went back to collage, but that was 2 years into it. It took me another 2 years to figure out what I wanted to do in collage. So I just kept doing the same thing, not knowing if it was going to end anywhere. You know, I was just going to be okay. I was at peace with, let me just keep playing. Let me keep buying, you know, taking classes of the now collage artists. That's all I cared about. And little by little, I started getting a voice, but it took a long time. And COVID was actually kind of the impetus for me finally finding it, because I didn't, mm-hmm. I was thrown in, well, as all of us were, I didn't have anything to do now. You know, I didn't, my day gig went away because I couldn't go and teach anybody. So I spent maybe 10 hours a day in my studio just making art, and just like I have tons of it. None of it really went together. But then I started figuring out how to make a series. Like, how do you actually make this look like it should go together? And then about a year into COVID, I sold a collection of new art that I absolutely thought was the best thing I'd ever made in my entire life. I put it out as a launch online. And I, you know, it took me a long time to make the launch. It was like 3 months to do this launch. I thought it was really well done. And the day of the launch, I sold 3 pieces out of 30. And I was completely devastated. I couldn't believe it. But then I knew instantly that was the best gift, because suddenly I'd been given freedom, because I'd realized that when I was making that collection, I was still making them to sell. You know, my brain was, how can I make these marketable? So I put a bird on every one of them. I thought, people like birds, right? You put birds in their house. And I thought, I know they're good. I still love them, but they weren't, I was making them to sell. My heart wasn't totally in them. So then I went on a beach vacation, brought a bunch of art supplies, and I said, okay, go for broke. Your art's not selling, so make anything you damn well please. So that's what I did. So I had 1 week at the beach. I made a piece of art every day, and people bought them, like on Instagram. And I was like, oh my God, you like this? I'm just having a good time. I mean, this is not my, I didn't mean to do anything. But that started my voice, because I stopped trying to do anything. And from then forward, it's been a really slow go. You know, it really wasn't until this current year that I figured out how to actually monetize so that I could really make a real living. You know, and hopefully within the year, I can totally give up my day gig. But, you know, it's kind of hard giving up like a sure income stream. But that's what I want to do. I want to focus every single moment of my life, both on teaching art as well as making art too. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's like following the breadcrumbs without thinking the breadcrumbs are going to lead you anywhere, because they may not. You know, I've been doing this a long time, and I've had lots of dead ends that didn't lead anywhere. But it was when I stopped trying to sell is when I finally figured out how to sell.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, my husband's calling.
That's okay.
Just one sec. Hey. At 2. That's when I'm going to come there. I'm on a podcast. Bye.
What time zone are you on?
We're Mountain Standard Time.
Mountain.
Yeah, my son's in a track and field right now. So we're going to go watch him in half an hour. Or he's there. I can hear that he's there. When you stop trying to sell art is when you started selling art. I feel like when you clench something so tight, and being an artist and being in the art world can be so heartbreaking.
I know.
it's gonna be so heartbreaking. You make this work and you're like, this is the best thing. Isn't everyone feeling how amazing this is? And then you launch it and you're like, oh fuck.
Okay.
And then you just never know. It's hard because it's not that something you can always count on. My art consultant hated it when I was like, I'm just gonna call them bonuses every year. They're my bonuses. And she's like, no, because she obviously works and coaches artists through making a living doing their art. And I'm like, for me, this hasn't worked out. This is just not my path. And maybe it'll go over here and back over here one day. But right now, like, I have really big goals and they require money. And this currently isn't enough for them. Like, I made enough for groceries for a decade to feed my family. Good job. I want to build a artist residency. I want to make, you know, what normal people make.
Right.
And I was like, and you know what? My bonus is because I've been working at this so long, those custom artwork orders, those big sales of big pieces, they are a good fucking bonus, but I won't, it's not going to make or break anything, right? It's just like leading toward, and I loved how you called it breadcrumbs. And it reminded me of like, there, we don't have a finish line. There is no place that we need to get. You're living your everyday bit by bit by bit.
Yeah. I mean, don't know the path. I mean, at least for me, I've never, whenever I've tried to like deliberately, okay, this is my plan. I have a business plan. I'm going to follow the plan. It's never, ever worked. When I let go of the plan and instead really follow what sounds good. Like,
follow your intuition.
I'm telling you. So like, you know, like right now I am completely into YouTube. That is my thing. I am like obsessed with YouTube and I don't even know why I'm obsessed with YouTube and I don't care. I just know that that's what gets me really excited. Like, I love making art demos and for some reason they're hooking with people.
Yeah, and I think it's because go for it.
And so that's the only business plan I have. Other than, you know, there are some things I do, you know, like I need some, you know, there's infrastructure to our businesses, but that's not the fun part. The fun part is trying to figure out how to really live moment to moment, following what gets me excited. And then I think people are attracted to that. I think that's why I'm finally figuring it. You know, I watch you on Instagram. I was listening to a lot of your stuff and about how you increased your income. I'm assuming because you started doing murals and you're teaching, you're doing really big art. You know, it's finding the niche of where you can actually make an income. And I've been teaching my whole life, but I haven't been teaching art. I've been teaching corporate people. So teaching is actually...
You could teach corporate. You could do corporate retreats and workshops.
People have told me that, but I'm not that interested.
Okay, you know, then don't. Not, yeah, then don't.
Yeah, I'm actually interested in getting people like who I was when I was in my 30s, who think they can't do art. So people who take art from me very often think they don't have any skills. And collage just happens to be a medium that's very forgiving. You know, it's very open to people who are brand new, who think they can't paint and draw because that's what I thought I couldn't do. Now, but I know that's not true anymore, but it's still not something I like. You know, drawing is not my passion. It's putting paper together or painting paper and putting that together. That's what gets me excited.
Honestly, so freeing. Actually, now that we're talking about it, I think that's my only collection that's ever sold out.
Like, is?
It's when I found like old albums of my parents and found like the coolest photographs of all time. And it was my summer collection. Yeah. And I just had fun. I just had like honest to goodness, didn't mean anything at all fun. And you're right. People resonate with that. Not that's why we want to do it. And people don't have to resonate with everything you're doing. That's not why we're doing it. But it's just like this gravity and pull and those didn't sell out like right away. They've sold out over the last few years. Like art sometimes has its own journey and you don't know why. And so you just have to honor it. I just looked up your YouTube. I think you should keep doing that. I think it's fantastic. Like it looks absolutely interesting. And the great thing about that, and to make that sustainable, because is it like 3,000 followers or something, and then you start getting?
No, it's 1,000 followers, but you have to have 4,000 watch hours. So I'm at 1,000 watch hours. I only started 2 weeks ago. So
what? You started YouTubing 2 weeks ago?
But I had been doing it last year. I started with an art coach, and she said I had to do, or she strongly advised I do Instagram lives. So I was doing those once a week, and I was doing art demos live on Instagram. And the problem with Instagram lives, they're fantastic. And I got a really big following that way. And I set myself up as someone who can teach. The problem is that those videos go away. You know, you can store them on highlights, but yeah, it's really hard for people to find them. So now I'm in the process of transferring them all to YouTube, and they're all going to be on YouTube. I mean, I'm now doing them live on YouTube. So mm-hmm. YouTube is just it's a longer term investment. You know, people actually, you see it for life.
So what we're talking about is SEO for the listeners, search engine optimization. So making your time and effort stay on the web longer, essentially, and show up in Google when people are searching for something to do. And I love that you're teaching, and I don't think you should stop doing Instagram necessarily, because the reels are getting a little bit better with carrying on and like feeding people, especially if you're teaching, because they're really focusing on what's going to make people dwell. So dwell time. So anything that like hooks them in the first 3 seconds and then they dwell on it, they will put on the discover pages, etc.
Well, I'm actually doing both. So
you're doing both, and it's great. And look at you go on YouTube already. 2 weeks. This is insane. It's your calling. I feel like you should go with it.
I'm going with it. We'll see. Who knows where we're going with it, but you know, it leads to other things. Basically, you know, YouTube is like Instagram. It just shows people what you are and who you are and what you believe in and, you know, how you show up. And so it's basically they're test driving, you know, test driving. Do they want to learn from you? And that's why Instagram works so it still works amazingly well for me. I'm just not going to put my art demos there. You know, I'm going to put them in YouTube.
Right. And then direct your audience there. And then where do those lead? Are they leading some to like an online class or?
So I have a once a year kind of comprehensive 12-week class people can take online. It's called Collage Joy. But then I have a new one, a little one. It's called Collage Keepsake. So how do you basically make gifts for yourself or things to commemorate your life out of collage?
So that's beautiful.
That's going to come out this summer, it's a small one. So basically it's, you know, the YouTube and Instagram is for me, this is what I do. It's like my calling card, because people don't want to invest in something until they see what you can do. And I sell art too, but the art selling is like what you call a bonus. It's like a bonus.
It's a great bonus. It's an exciting bonus. It kind of turns around the mindset around it. Like it takes the pressure off and it makes it like a really positive thing. You're like, every time it happens, I'm like, fuck yeah. I'm just like, dance and pack it up. Before I was going, like when I was depending on art sales as income, I would like, it would just, and with the three kids, it was like, you know, and taking it to the post office and packing it, like it was getting to be tedious. And I was like, I can't go to the post office every day with my three kids. Like, this is not realistic. So there were some big shifts and changes. Have you ever done pre-recorded content?
For YouTube?
For classes.
Yeah, it's all pre-recorded.
No, but your programs, like a pre-recorded class that you can sell.
That is what I do.
Okay.
I have a 12-week online class. It's all
pre-recorded. You're not showing up physically?
Mm-hmm. Well, I do lives once a week. You know, like
so manageable. That's manageable.
Fabulous. Yeah. Now that it's mostly recorded and it's done, it's great. Recording a 12-week class is a bear. It was basically 6 months of 7 days a week, 10-hour days, no days off. I took Christmas off this year. And I thought that was a major accomplishment. I mean, recording the class is very intense, but once you get it, it's done. You know, the
it's just like done. You've washed your hands and you can just let it be whatever it's meant to be. And it can be something really beautiful. I think that's like the biggest, and I don't know when you started doing that. When did you start doing that?
My first class just launched this past January. So I'm doing it just once a year. So it launches every January and then it's closed the rest of the year. And that's why I'm doing a tiny class this summer. But then I'll have Collage Joy will open up again next January. And that's basically how I make a living now. And I love that. It's fabulous.
Good for you.
Maybe I'll sell some art. I'll sell some art down the road because now I'm making a lot of art. I make art to sell classes. So I've got a lot of art, but it's not. It's not.
You're showing yourself play, though, right?
Yeah,
I know it's such a weird transition, like going into like the teaching of it, and you're like, "What is for what anymore?" I'm not sure what I'm doing down here.
So say that. Can you say that last thing again?
Like I'm not like sometimes in the studio, I'm like making and playing, and I'm like recording, and then and you're like. What is going on? Like, it's such a strange transition from like being a gallery artist to like becoming an educator.
Well, I mean, gallery artists are great if you have a market for it. You know, I think that's a small percentage of us that get gallery representation where there's a market, you know?
Yeah.
I have a good friend who lives in the Midwest in the US, and she's an incredible collage artist, makes monster collages. They're gorgeous. And she has a following. Lots of people buy from her in a gallery. She has like two or three galleries in the Midwest. And what she told me is that she is netting, actually bringing home $40,000 a year off of selling a couple $100,000 a year, you know, because it's all the expenses. Oh, yeah. It's, you know, how much goes into it nets her very little. So even though her art sells really well, people love what she does and she has a following, it's just a hard way to do it. I mean,
it's a lot of effort.
And a lot of time for not that much reward. You know, she's living in a one bedroom apartment where the one bedroom is the studio and they live in the rest of the, you know, they live basically live in the living room.
Yeah.
So I'm just on that. That has never been a.
And that's everyone's like dream. I have galleries and I'm represented and that was when you come out of art school, that huge, huge thing where they're like, this is what a real artist looks like. And you're like, I'd rather not actually from what I've learned and what I've learned from others. And, you know, like that's not the trade-off that I want.
Yeah. I mean, unless, you know, you're one of the lucky 1%. You know, who just gets out like George O'Keefe, that would be great. You know, I would love to, you know, have that kind of price point, but that's not where the universe has brought me. You know, I really trust that where I am is where I'm meant to serve right now. And I do see this as a service, you know, that both doing YouTube and posting on Instagram, it's all supporting other people, you know, in finding what they want to do with their lives as well. While I follow my calling, breadcrumb by breadcrumb, you know, I don't know exactly most of the time where it's leading. I just trust that I'm in the right direction because it feels good.
Yeah. And that took you a long time to learn.
I'm still learning it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a one-stop deal where you just said, okay, I'm going to be an artist. There you go. It's like, what kind of artist? How are you going to sell? What are you going to make? You know, and it never stops. It never stops changing and evolving. How you want to do this, you know, 5 years from now, it'll look something very different. I'm sure. I don't know. Maybe it won't. Maybe it'll be exactly what it is now. I don't think it's really my business, actually. I think it happens on its own.
Can't worry about it. Was there like a turning point for you in your life where you're like, like the universe just told you something? Like,
hold on, let me think. Let me think of the best example. Well, at the end of, I was a full-time artist from age 40 to 44 and stressed beyond stressed, trying to make an income and loving making the art. So always both. And at the end of the 4 years, I was so freaking stressed that I ended up getting diagnosed with breast cancer. And I didn't have any family history. There was no signs that that would have happened at age 44. And pretty early, I mean, almost as soon as it happened, I realized this is like an extreme gift because one, it stopped me from a crazy path. You know, I wasn't going to stop because that was my dream, was to do what I was doing. I needed to get stopped though. And I really believe the extreme stress is what kind of triggered it. But then what happened after that was I made this pact with the universe. I didn't know what was going to happen with breast cancer. And I didn't know if I was going to get chemo. You know, I didn't know what the future was. So I made a pact with the universe, God, whatever you call that. And I said, if you don't give me chemo, if you let me just ride right by this, you know, I still had breast cancer, but I got rid of breast cancer. If I don't have to have chemo, I'll go back to my corporate job because my corporate job had invited me back. If I do get chemo, I'm staying with full-time art and I'm going to heal. I'm putting everything in it, you know, into healing and art. Well, it turned out that I didn't need chemo. So I had to fulfill my pact with the universe. So I went back to my full-time job. But what was so incredible about that was a couple years later, my husband, my now ex-husband of 30 years, decided he didn't want to be married. And if I had stayed on the track of being a full-time artist, I would have been left in the cold. I would have had no health insurance. I mean, I was making money, but I was struggling to make money. But the fact that I'd gone back to corporate life, I was set. I had my health insurance. I could buy my own home. I was completely independent. And I didn't expect to stay for so long. But I have such incredible trust because it's always worked out that what is presented to me is what I'm supposed to be doing. Even breast cancer, that is what I'm supposed to be doing, even though that was never part of a plan. None of this is part of a plan. But if I follow literally the breadcrumbs that are presented, somehow this is what's supposed to happen. So I went back to corporate life, saved every dime I could, because I just knew the first opportunity I get, I'm out. You know, I'm just going to save so I can be independent again in terms of no job. And it just so happened that I loved the job. It was phenomenal. I changed people's lives, what I got to do. I traveled all over the U.S. on someone else's dime. It was a great adventure. But after 10 years of this, I was barely doing art at all. And I eventually figured out a way to bring art on the road. So I would travel with 250-pound suitcases. I would set up art studios in every hotel room. So at night, every night, I would do art for 3 hours. When I was home, I would start my day with 3 hours of art, 7 days a week, because I wasn't going to make a day gig an excuse for why I wasn't pursuing my life's passion. And then in 2018, that's when I finally got the opportunity to stop this insane travel schedule and work 1 week a month. And I've been doing it ever since. But having a day gig now, I mean, I have a day gig now. It's just, I just do it 1 week a month. That takes all the pressure off. You know,
yeah.
I feel like I'm making a fortune, but I'm making enough so I don't have to worry about bills.
Takes away the worry.
It does take away the worry, you know. So in fact, that's how I set it up. So I just make enough. You know, I'm not putting money in 401s, but I don't need to. I saved every time when I was on the road.
Yeah, so. That's great. And that's really valuable information for people. And thank you for sharing that part of your life. I'm sure it's not like the easiest thing to always talk about, and the way you view it now as a gift, you know.
Well, you know, the thing is, I viewed it back then as a gift because that story isn't isolated. I've done that. Some things like that have happened since in my 20s. You know, like something that looks bad happens, and because I know that isn't really bad, it just looks bad. I am just being redirected, you know, to where what I need to do next. So it doesn't really, I mean, breast cancer is scary as hell, but at the same time, I knew it was the best thing. Getting a divorce when you didn't expect to ever be divorced ever you know, that looks really bad, and it felt really bad, but it was the biggest blessing that could have possibly happened. I mean, I was, you know, this huge door opened up in my life where I got to relive my life. You know, I got to make all new choices. I'm remarried to the most phenomenal soul, you know, and it wouldn't have happened, you know, so I never see things as horrible. Now, they may feel horrible in the moment, but there's another part of my brain that says, has to be a gift or it would not be happening because I've experienced it repeatedly.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, there's faith there. You're like, this is a shit show, but I'm somehow, sure.
Somehow there's a redirection.
We'll come out of it. Yeah.
You just don't know.
Yeah, no, totally. And I truly believe that too. With so many projects and so many things in life and like things turn out better than you anticipate. Like they turn out better and you have to leave room and kind of like, you're like, oh gosh, this sucks so bad. What Kat told me one time, Katerina Popova, she told me some seasons are meant to strengthen us. And so you find strength and resilience through these experiences too. Not only are they there telling you something and redirecting you, but they're also there preparing you for the next step.
Yeah, that's always been my experience too. It's like there's no mistakes, you know, including not knowing what the hell you're doing. You know, even that is, or not selling a collection, you know, when you put your heart and soul into it, all of those are happening to help you. Like when I didn't sell, that gave me permission to go for broke. I had nothing to lose because I wasn't gaining anything. You know, I was, you know, major in my book failing. So just do what you want to do. And I wouldn't say that I do that all the time, but I have to remind myself all the time, you know, to what would be fun? What would light me up? It's kind of like the collage collection that, you know, you sold. You know, it's amazing what happens when you're not trying. Instead, you're following what just feels good.
Yeah, it's telling. And I mean, we can't always find ourselves on that path because sometimes we don't know when we're in it, right?
Very often. But you know, for me, it's like, it's when it feels really bad, then I kind of know I'm on it. Like if I'm just every day, like I'm on an every day right now. It's like, oh, this is really good. But I don't necessarily see how incredible every day is. I do really amazing things when I'm like pushed against the wall. It's like, okay, now, what are you going to do now?
Yeah, I'm one of those people, I'd rather be busy than bored because I'll just self-destruct. But also there's very important, I do take rest. I think rest for creatives is like so essential to our mental health and well-being and filling our well with magic, you know?
Yeah. How do you do that with kids?
Right. We figure it out. My dad has them today, which is good. I ask for help when I need it. And I also just kind of walk over the mess. I'm like, I'm just doing this right now. And that'll have to wait till when I have the energy to pull it all together. And so it is a crazy, crazy season of life. I'm going to say, do you have kids?
Don't have kids. You know, I always thought I was going to have kids. That was always part of the plan. But I married someone that didn't want them. But I didn't know that was the case, you know, back when I was in my 20s, because I wasn't planning on having kids when I was 20, you know, and that's when I found my ex-husband. So, but even that.
And he has kids?
He doesn't have kids. We didn't have kids together. Oh. I was with him for 30 years.
But he has kids?
He has no kids.
No, your new current husband.
Oh, yes. Sorry. My new husband has his own kids, you know, so I married into kids. But I don't consider that's the, you know, they're adults. So it's a different when you have
a little bit different.
Yeah, I don't mother anybody. But when, you know, not having, realizing I wasn't going to have biological kids, you know, at first is like, oh, that really wasn't part of my plan either. But even that was an amazing gift because my sister, I have one sister and she had two young girls and she lost her husband in her early 30s. So she was a single mom, you know, and needed support. So I stepped in and basically became I consider myself a grandmother to her kids, even though they're, you know, really, they could have been my own kids, mm-hmm. but they are, they're the same as kids to me. I just don't have to pay for them. You know, I didn't have to do all the, you know, storytelling every night. But, you know, they both live with me during their teens because they both were going through their own crises. And I have other nieces and nephews that also live with me as well.
So I'm the other family.
I'm the other mother, you know, yeah. that steps in. But it wasn't part of the plan. But mm-hmm. it was, you know, everyone does their own version of it. And that was my version, being the other mother, the good aunt.
Yeah. And that's a great... That's like my sister loves being an auntie. She yeah. doesn't want to do the everyday stuff.
So she doesn't have kids?
No, she doesn't. I have one final question for you, sponsored by Red Bicycle Communications. Can you describe your ideal perfect day in your life?
Perfect day in my life would be wake up at 8 a.m. without an alarm clock. And I spend half a day journaling and walking and just dreaming, being, meditating. And then the other half of the day, tearing up paper and putting it back together again and just seeing where it takes me, you know, not having any plans. And then having a chef come in. And cook right. a meal for me. I want anything to do with not cooking.
Yeah.
Someone to make it clean up for me, make it happen. Yeah, that would be my perfect day. Oh, besides beautiful. Also spending a good glass of wine with my love. But I like days that aren't planned. You just float through space and you do whatever kind of draws you in.
Those are the best days. And everyone describes days in their life, basically. Some do like, you know, they're like, I'll go to this place to get spaghetti in Italy, or, you know, which is cool. I would go for spaghetti in Italy too, if I could get that one dream dinner.
Just for the day. I think I'll just go to Italy for the afternoon.
Yeah, just the afternoon so I can have my spaghetti and then pop over to France for a baguette.
Okay, so now we're talking really big. Okay, I like to spend the day in Paris, just wandering, you know, just let myself get lost in Paris. That would be an ideal day too. But I wasn't thinking that big. I'm thinking like a ideal day.
That's okay.
Yeah. A day. Like, what would
I do? It sounded beautiful. I got a little before I had kids, and I think this is so important, is to travel as a young woman independently. Like, not with anyone, because you learn so much about yourself.
Yeah.
And I did an artist residency in Camac in Nogent-sur-Seine, and it was like 40 miles from Paris. And so I went there and I got to spend a lot of days in Paris just doing a whole lot of nothing, which was really cool.
That would be an ideal. So we have option A or option B. Option B would be wandering around Paris with no plan.
Yeah.
And lots of money in your pocket so you can go to every outside restaurant, you know, stop and write and drink wine.
I didn't even need to. The good food I found was in the like patisseries, like just where you saw French people lining up, you just join the line.
Ah.
That was the secret. The restaurants were just like not as impressive. It was the like just lunch and breakfast lineups of you just go in and it's like, and you walk in and you're like, I don't even know what to choose. They just hand it to you and you go eat it somewhere in Paris. That is nice.
That sounds good.
Do you speak
French?
No. I can understand nouns from schooling in Canada. But that's about it. So, but some, because I was with my partner and husband of the time when I went, which was nice. But I got invited to a lot of like tables with like young men and stuff to like hang out and chat, but I would just like smile and nod. And I could pick out like some things, but no, I wanted to learn and I just didn't. And that same year I got to do a month and a half in Montreal too, which was really cool. So it was a very French experience year, except that I didn't learn. I just am not one of those people who picks up languages like as easily as some people do. I can't even remember the names of people I meet like immediately. So
I'm with you.
Yeah, it's
I wish one. I've started French lessons a couple times, you know, online French lessons. I just don't like details. Like it bores me.
Yeah.
That's why I don't like cooking either.
It's a gift. It's a gift for some people and it's not my gift. So I'll just go and eat my way around the world and be happy with that. Meet cool people. And I'm really glad to have met you. I hope we chat some more. I'm going to watch your YouTube and tune in. And I'm not even going to say this. It will grow. I see it. It will just flourish already. And I love that you're doing that. And I'm so proud of you. And where can everyone else find you?
Besides Kat Rains, that artist, that's YouTube and Instagram, and KatherineRains.com as well. Perfect. I also have a 5-day class. So people who are brand new, free 5-day class for people that don't, for people who don't think they know how to do collage, on my website or actually anywhere that you hook up with me, you'll get a free link to it.
If you're looking for some time for yourself to relax, release, and unwind, Oasis has the perfect space for you. They offer yoga and spin classes of all levels. Whether you are a beginner or advanced student, Oasis thrives on accommodating all aspects of the practice. Let their serene environment and gracious staff help you in your journey of peace, healing, and strength. Sign up online at www.oasishotyogastudio.com or by downloading the Oasis Hot Yoga Studio app. Feel like yourself. You deserve it.